Hello, and thank you for joining us here on the Neutral Zone. I am Phil Milani, joined as always by my trusty sidekick, my partner in crime. Really, the best way to describe this person is my everything. It's at Eric Dalala.
Phil, great to be back with you for another episode.
You're always with me for the episodes.
That's true.
Yeah. We look forward to this every week, I think.
It's really why I get up in the morning.
Yeah. And we got a great episode today. We're going to talk a little bit about Greg Dulcich.
The hair.
A lot of talk about the hair, but I'm interested about his production on the field. And more specifically, if he's got a chance to become a starter as a rookie, Eric, because I know the hair has been turning some heads, but that speed out there, that tight end position, something else.
The quads, those shorts,
quads,
the hair.
Short shorts.
He looks the part.
Long socks. Justin Outen said that he just looks like an NFL tight end. So I think that's good.
That is a good sign.
Wondering if he's got a chance to sneak into that starting lineup. Maybe.
Usurp.
Excuse me?
Usurp.
Syrup? I like syrup, yes. Waffles, pancakes, syrup.
Yeah.
Usurp.
Take away someone's role.
Oh, got it. Yeah, Albert O, maybe. Do you think he's feeling some pressure right now? Or
maybe.
I don't know.
I don't want to spoil the show.
Yeah, we're going to have to get into that a little bit. We'll get into that. We'll talk about the Broncos' offensive line a little bit later, too. You know, all the attention on Russell Wilson this offseason, rightfully so, but the guys protecting him, their job got a lot more important.
More important. Not sure if it's easier or harder because of how Russ plays.
Yeah. He does tend to hold on to the ball for a little while there. He can
run around a little bit.
He can run around a little bit. But I still think he likes to throw the ball. I don't think he scrambles too much.
Right.
But he does like to hold on to it. He's not exactly like Peyton Manning.
No. Very different skill sets.
Styles. Yeah. But you got to protect him. You got to make sure that he's healthy. We want him to play all 17 games, I think.
Well, all 20,
I think,
right?
So. He doesn't have to play all the preseason, I don't think.
I'm not talking about the preseason. I want all 17. Maybe you rest the last week because you got the first round bio locked up.
Okay, so maybe 19?
Yeah, 19 with the three postseason.
Got it.
Maybe you don't even have to play the second half of the divisional round if you just...
Should just start it, though.
Yeah.
And then what about a championship game? Probably has to play the whole...
Probably the whole thing
for that one.
Yeah.
Super Bowl...
You want to play the whole
you
thing.
You want to play the whole thing.
Got to get those MVP numbers up.
That's true, huh? Yeah, that's true. What if they have a perfect season going, though? Week 17.
Week 18.
Do you start them?
Yeah, I think you should.
I don't know. That'll be a topic for a different episode, I think, probably.
Yes.
You know, do you? Because, like, Peyton Manning and the Colts, they...
He didn't like that, I don't think.
Yeah. He wasn't happy.
No, I think I remember him saying, we should have gone for it.
Yeah. I think you want to go for it. That's your gut instinct.
If you go 18-0, Russ is probably the regular season MVP.
Probably.
Do you think he's also allowed to play well in the playoffs, or is that allowed in this city?
Is this a shot at Jokic?
It's a question.
I would say that...
It's a question about...
He did play well in the playoffs.
But are you allowed to go far in the playoffs if you win regular season MVP?
Yeah, you can. But if everybody gets hurt around Russ, that would be a concern, I think.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. And I don't know if you noticed, but Golden State is still playing.
Do you know one of Nathaniel Hackett's three rules?
No. I don't know. I don't know if I know any of them.
Well, I asked you if you knew one.
Okay.
So.
No, I don't know one.
Okay. No excuses is one of the rules.
No excuses. That's true, yeah. What are the other two?
Be on time.
Oh, yeah. This is what he asked at the huddle.
Team first.
Team first, yeah. Jokic is a team first guy.
I didn't bring up Jokic. You brought up Jokic.
I think you are making reference.
No, I simply
to
asked.
MVPs in this city, those are trigger words for me.
Like, yeah, Terrell Davis, he won an MVP in this city, and he was allowed to go win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and then they won the Super Bowl. Yeah.
But it seems like, maybe it's not always the case in this town. So I was just curious.
Name another MVP from this town. You got another one? You got any other one? How about like Larry Walker?
Yeah.
All right, you want an MVP?
Yeah.
I don't think they did anything in the playoffs.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. So Maybe you got a point.
John didn't.
Maybe you got a point.
John did not win in the playoffs.
No, he didn't. And then, of course, Peyton Manning, they lost in the Super Bowl.
That's true. So really kind of the outlier to win the MVP and then play Terrell well Davis. In the playoffs.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer, so.
Yeah. So are Peyton Manning and John Elway.
That's true.
Jokic kind of borderline, I think.
Are you ridiculous? People aren't here for this kind of banter. I'm starting to get upset. You know how to get after me, you know? The Nuggets dog that just gets me going. Eric, and then I thought maybe we could play a little game.
Ooh, that's what I was just doing.
A little bit later. Yeah, I know. This is something we saw on Twitter. I believe it was the NFL on CBS. I heard maybe Jim Nantz runs that himself.
He does. I heard
that. Yeah, I think he runs that Twitter account.
It's like retweet to win a quarter zip.
I would retweet everything.
I'd retweet every single post.
Weather's getting a little nicer outside, Eric. We don't have our QZs with us today.
No.
Yeah. Well, I never leave home without it. I just don't have it on right now.
No, it's in my work closet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because you live here.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But they did a little thing where they put out a lineup, but just instead of the names of the players, they put their colleges.
Ooh.
And then you had to guess what team is this. So we thought maybe we would play a little game and guess which Broncos team this is, what year Broncos squad, but we'll only name the colleges.
Okay.
Maybe if you're listening on NZ Nation, you could play along with us.
Yeah, fun to play along at home.
Fun a little.
It's like wait, don't tell me.
Exactly, except no prizes.
Yeah, and no studio audience.
No studio audience.
Ben Swanson, clap.
Yeah. Ben, come on. He doesn't follow Hackett's rules.
He's grumpy.
Yeah,
no team last for Ben Swanson.
For Ben Swanson, yeah. And then I think the return of voicemails.
We got some good ones.
Yeah. Return of voicemails. So and maybe some shout-outs if we have time. Eric, it's hard to believe that it's been just 1 week since our big Nathaniel Hackett episode.
That's true.
The episode did pretty well, Eric, I would say. 73 comments on the official Broncos YouTube page.
All about our hair.
I heard everybody subscribe, too, afterward.
Yeah, they hit the...
Yeah, exactly. Just wanted to go through some of these...
Yeah, go for it.
Our friend Bronco Batman. He says, awesome, guys. Great interview with the coach. But he says, come on. I say we go 4-0 to start things off. Bronco Batman knows things.
It's true.
Okay. Our friend Metambale.
You get it right every time.
He gets so upset at me.
Closer than Metambale.
Hitting the big time now, fellas. We were in our bigger studio.
That's true.
This is a regular podcast studio.
That's for big events.
Wagon Racer 7 says, Phil called it. I fast-forwarded to the coach interview. A lot of people made those same comment. Yeah. Oscar Miranda called us out. I fast-forwarded, but got nothing but love for you guys. So that was nice.
Thank you.
Let's see. Kevin Elliott 67.
Uh-oh.
Great content, great interview, but Phil, let Eric finish a thought. Listening to the interruptions makes me feel like I'm driving in traffic. Maybe you are. Maybe you're driving in traffic, and then, I don't know. Take turns, and it'll be a smooth ride. We want to hear what both of you say, and you compliment each other. Compliment, like we've...
Yes.
Not compliment.
With an E, not an I.
He put an I. I think he meant E, though.
Oh, okay.
Nicely. Keep it on.
Thanks for having my back there.
Do you think I cut you off too much?
You just cut
me. Sometimes I'm driving with you.
Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good example right there. No, I like it, though. It's good banter.
Yeah.
When I start talking too long, you're over there like...
Well, you get into like the... You're like, let me break down the DVOA...
Yeah, you're like, I want to talk about my emotions.
J-Boy says, bro, 2x speed is absolutely insane.
That's crazy.
It is very fast. We tried it.
No, you can't do it.
You couldn't understand anything that we were saying. Yeah.
You can't really at normal speed either.
Brandon Young says, so what does it take to get Phil to stop calling Eric with an E his everything? Makes me cringe so much every time. I can't stop.
It's tough.
I can't stop. Someone says, Phil, who knows? Only the shadow knows.
That one kind of scared me a little bit.
It makes you think, huh? And then the last one I wanted to get to here is from Nutella Nosmella.
No smella, maybe.
No smella. Nutella Nosmella. It's a good name. Eric, spelled right with an A, has got to do something about the mouth noises. Mouth noises.
Yeah, and I know, what is that? What mouth noises am I making?
Yeah, what are you... Is it you're talking? I think it might be just...
Like some
the words yeah, like that come out.
They're like, stop talking. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, sometimes when I begin a thought, I'm like, yeah. Like, is that a mouth noise? Like, I don't know.
Or is it like a kind of a like a...
Or is it like a... Gosh, that's gross.
What is it? I don't know what you're doing. You got to stop with the mouth.
I don't know. I'm rattled.
Maybe we'll get a coach
I'm
in here.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, we'll get a coach. They'll work
I'm
on
trying
the mouth
my
noises.
Best. It's not like I'm licking the microphone.
Yeah. Just got to take it easy with it. Maybe it's because I keep cutting you off and you feel like you got to just make noises. I lied. One more to get to. Politically incorrect. Geez, enough BS. I watched for 5 minutes, gave up. Looked up the schedule myself. Okay, well, we weren't going to go through the whole schedule, but enough BS. Then someone says, you hurt Phil's feelings.
Uh-huh.
Then he responded and said, don't care. What do you think about it?
I mean, did this person think that we were just going to read the schedule quickly? That's not what the podcast was about.
No, we were going to break down the schedule.
We were dissecting the schedule.
Yeah.
There's pictures of the schedule out there.
There's a lot of pictures.
Yeah, many pictures. Some pictures. Graphics even.
Yeah, some graphics.
Some words about it.
Yeah.
This was like a, if you want to know everything.
It was an in-depth.
You just did it again. Okay, I'm going to focus on the mouth noises. You focus on the cutting me off. We'll have a nice show.
I just don't want there to be awkward pauses.
No,
after
I don't
you're
think
done
so.
Talking and then it's like, are they still there? And then I'm like, good thought, Eric. You know?
Well, we're not on Zoom anymore.
Yeah.
We did that for a long time.
It was sad.
Was sad.
Hopefully, we can continue to do it in person, you know?
Knock on wood.
I knock on my head. Yeah. You knocked on actual wood. Yeah. Eric, so we appreciate the comments. That's on the Broncos official YouTube page. You can watch, leave a comment, and we read all of them.
That's right.
We don't read all of them on air, but I personally read all of them and take them all to heart. Okay, politically right. Incorrect. I was crying a little bit. So, what are other ways that NZ Nation can get involved in the show? Maybe leave like an email or something?
Yeah, that's right. You can leave an email at neutralzoneshow@gmail.com. We heard from our friend Andy Maines this week.
Yeah.
Or you could leave a message at 707-NEUTRAL. You don't have to talk to anybody. You just,
no Ben Swanson.
No, you just leave a message. We'll play it right here on the air.
Yep.
Pick the best of the best.
Yeah. Those are pretty
good. Our friend Tom Magnetti a few weeks ago was... Would you say he was grumpy?
That he didn't get on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't pleased, certainly.
Yeah.
But you got to bring it each and every week.
You do. We got another good one today.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got another good one.
Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Eric DeLalla with an A, at Phil Milani with a PH. Both non-traditional spellings.
Non-traditional spellings. Yeah, that's correct. Those are good ways to get involved.
That's
in the
about
show.
It.
Yeah. And like I mentioned, subscribe to the YouTube page. It's a lot of subscribers now.
So it's kind of there's so many.
So many subscribers. Erica, let's dive into our first topic here on this week's show, talking about Greg Dulcich, the Broncos' third-round pick.
That's correct.
Third-round pick out of UCLA. Walked on at UCLA, was a wide receiver, transition to tight end. Now he's with the Broncos, and some people might think that he's pushing Albert O here as a rookie. Could get into the starting lineup here. I'm just wondering what you think about what you saw at rookie minicamp and a little bit of projecting here with what to expect with Dulcich.
Yeah, I was pleased with what I saw from Dulcich at minicamp. He looks fast. He looks the part, as we mentioned there at the top of the show. Some of these guys come in as rookies and they look too small. They look like, hey, they need a year in the weight room before they're able to really contribute. Dulcich kind of looks like he's ready to go. Obviously caught a lot of touchdowns at UCLA, I think 10 over the last two seasons, if I'm remembering correctly. And he's a guy that can stretch the field. He's a guy that when you get the ball in his hands, he can catch it and go with it. And listen, I think that after Noah Fant was traded, there was this sentiment that Albert O had about the same production as Noah. Albert O showed some potential that was in some ways equivalent to Noah. But it's worth recognizing that Albert O has been, he's dealt with his share of injuries here over his first 2 years of his career. He's missed some opportunities where there's been times to make a big play and he hasn't been able to haul that pass in. And so this is not a, in my mind, it's not like Pat Surtain at a cornerback position where you know Pat Surtain has that position on lock, or Justin Simmons at safety, you know, Russ at quarterback. Like, there's the ability here for Dulcich to push Albert O, especially because they do similar things. And so if you get to a place where, you know, Nathaniel Hackett wants to use two tight ends, or he wants to put somebody in the slot, maybe a guy like Dulcich makes more sense. And if he takes advantage of his opportunities, I think by midseason you could see Dulcich take over that number one role.
I think when we were getting ready for the episode, we were talking, Eric, I think you and I both agree that Dulcich is probably the draft pick that has the best chance to supplant this, the previous starter, the incumbent. I use those words right?
Well, supplant, I don't think is a word. Supplant.
Supplant.
Yeah.
A surplant. Sir?
Yeah. Mr. Grass?
Okay, sorry. I looked up some of the statistics here. Albert O last year played in 14 games.
Okay.
Okay. He had 33 catches and 2 touchdowns.
13 games, you said?
14 games.
14 games, okay.
Yeah. So, not, so like three not catches terrible. A no, game fa- about? No Fant was still in the
2.5
mix
catches
there.
A game.
So, yeah. No Fant, I think, it was more of a red zone target, you know. But yep. 33 catches is not bad for second-year tight end. I don't think so.
No.
Dulcich, last year, 42 receptions, 5 touchdowns at UCLA. And the year before that, 26 catches, 5 touchdowns. So, yeah, you're right. 10 touchdowns in the last 2 years. So, I do think that it made sense for the Broncos to go get a tight end after losing Noah Fant in the trade. I think it made sense. Hey, they need another tight end. And I think you're right. Albert O has shown a lot of potential, but he's gotten hurt a little bit here, and he hasn't he's got a chance to take that next step this year. But I think that you always want competition there to push a guy a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think about Albert O's best plays, and I think back to that Chargers game in 2020 where the Broncos
catch in the end
came
zone.
Back. Well, he had that catch, but then there were several other opportunities where he, like on that last drive, he just drew a pass interference.
Yep.
He's got to make some of those catches where there are guys on you, or maybe they're not calling it, like in New England where, and I get that was like one of his first opportunities, but you got to take advantage of some of these situations. I think Russell Wilson's the type of guy, he's not going to be afraid to go back to you if you drop a pass, but he's also a guy that,
you drop a pass, he's going to remember it.
Well, I just think you have to prove to him that you're worthy of getting the ball in these big situations, especially with so many options on the field. Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler. If you don't show that, hey, you're a reliable, consistent target, I don't know how involved you are. And I don't want to go too far here and say that, like, Albert O is not reliable, because I don't think
that's the case at all.
But I think it's important for him to kind of take a step past some of these momentary lapses from the first 2 years if he wants to hold on to this job, because we've heard Nathaniel Hackett say several times about Greg Dulcich, he has soft hands.
He's a guy
that is able to haul in these passes. And while his 40 time is not as fast as Albert O, you watch some of these highlights at UCLA.
He plays fast.
Once he's kind of in the open field, he's hard to catch, is able to break tackles. So I'm interested to see these guys together. But like I said before, I do think it's possible you get to week 6, week 7, week 8, and maybe all of a sudden Dulcich starts getting a few more targets.
Yeah. When I was thinking about this, Eric, I was also thinking, okay, what does Russ like to do here? Because it's possible that he could just get into a groove with one of these guys, and then that becomes sort of the main tight end here. You know, who does he have that chemistry with?
Right.
Looking back at his career, I'd probably say Jimmy Graham is probably the best tight end he's played with. He had Greg Olsen for 1 year in 2020, but just one touchdown, 24 catches for Olsen that year. Jimmy Graham in 2017, 10 touchdowns, 57 catches. So I think that when Russ is playing with that talent at the tight end position, he likes to go there a lot, especially in the red zone. 10 touchdowns, that's pretty good for a tight end, I think.
Yeah.
But I will say, when I think about Russ's game, I just think about, like Jerry Jeudy said, that moon ball. He likes to throw it deep, and he likes to throw to his wide receivers primarily. I mean, DK Metcalf, I think, had 14 touchdowns last year. I mean, the list goes on and on throughout Russ's career. I mean, Tyler Lockett, Doug Baldwin, these guys put up big numbers at the wide receiver position. But I do think that if he gets into a groove with either Dulcich or Albert O, I think that he'll go to him and use him quite often.
Well, and it's all about matchups, and we don't know quite how does Russ fit in Nathaniel Hackett's system. The Packers did use tight ends at times, maybe less so this past year, but the year before, the tight end position was really important to the Packers.
Yep.
And so you have to think it's going to be some sort of a meshing of those two offenses. And I do think maybe their skill sets are a little bit different, Albert O and Greg Dulcich. Maybe Greg Dulcich is more a middle of the field guy, whereas Albert O, maybe he's a guy you go to in the red zone. Mm. Not to say that those can't be reversed, but just thinking about the size that Albert O has, I do think it's interesting. Sometimes when you think about these position battles, you're like, okay, well, that guy's a first round pick, so you know there's high hopes for this guy, but he's a third round pick, probably isn't as talented. Maybe he's not going to come in and do this. Albert O was a fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
And so it's not like he has this draft status.
He's not making a ton of money where you're like, this guy's got to do this.
Well, even like, you know, Noah Fant, for example. Greg Dulcich probably isn't coming in as a third-round pick and taking over Noah Fant's job. Just
yeah.
Because there is something, I think, to be said for
some clout.
The status of where you're drafted and who gets more opportunities. These guys were drafted about the same place
yeah.
in the draft. And so I don't think there's any of that where – this is automatically going to belong to Albert O. I think Greg Dulcich is going to get a fair shake here, fair chance to get these reps. And the other benefit for Greg is that Albert O's never played in this offense. And
yeah.
so Greg has to make this jump to the NFL. But at the same time, Albert O only has about a month's head start here. And so it's not like he's coming into a system where, okay, well, Albert O has 3 years of experience in this system. He knows what he's supposed to do. He knows how it works. The quarterback's comfortable. Everyone's starting over, which I think, whether it's Dulcich, whether it's Nick Benito, whether it's Damari Mathis, Montrell Washington, all these guys kind of have a level playing field here.
Where they're learning.
And Yomo Wazirike, all these guys, I think, have a chance to carve out some sort of role because they're not behind the eight ball as much as you would be.
Did you say Montrell Washington?
Yeah.
You think he's going to play a wideout?
It sounded like they were going to use him on some gadget-type plays.
Mm, okay. But it's not like he's coming in and taking someone.
No. But I think that when you join a system that's new for everybody, it kind of levels the playing field
a
little bit.
Completely agree. And I would say, by all accounts, Albert O has taken this in stride. I mean, it's not like anybody's grumpy.
No. I don't think,
well, I'm always grumpy. But I don't think like Albert O thought, oh, this is my job. Why are you drafting a tight end? I think everybody's thinking, look, this tight end is going to play an important role in this offense. There's a lot of opportunities to use two tight ends. And Albert O got 33 catches last year with Noah Fant out there. So there's plenty for everyone to eat.
Yeah. It's a buffet.
It's a nice little buffet.
I don't think you can ever have that attitude, especially as a mid-round pick.
Yeah.
That, like, they're not going to challenge me. I think you're always going to bring people in to try to make this roster better. I think both of these guys will help. The tight end room went from a concern, I think, to between drafting Dulcich and re-signing Eric Saubert, who I liked as a blocking tight end.
Yeah.
Between those two moves, I think you're now in a good position there.
Yeah. Speaking of blocking, what do you think Greg Dulcich feels pretty confident about his blocking. Justin Outen said that he's showing this willingness, but he's got to work on his technique a little bit. That's something that, not to pick on Noah Fant or anything, but like that willingness and want to, that's a positive sign here, I think, for Dulcich coming in.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, you can have that want to when you're playing against, you know,
in rookie minicamp.
When you're playing defensive ends from Colorado or Arizona State. Sorry. Oregon State. Who do you want me to blast?
Jeez.
Who do you want me to blast? Pick a Pac-12 score to blast.
Oh, my gosh.
Washington
okay,
State.
I've recovered. I'm okay.
Washington State.
I'm okay.
I mean, CU was not very good defensively, were they?
They were okay, yeah.
Okay, who's the worst
defense? Ever heard of Nate Landman? Carson Wells? Come on.
I've heard of Nate Landman. I certainly have never heard of that other guy.
Okay.
Who would you say is the worst Pac-12 defense last year?
I don't know.
Okay,
I don't,
Oregon yeah, State.
They probably aren't very good, yeah.
But so it's a different situation when you're blocking one of those guys as opposed to having to block an NFL defensive end or an NFL linebacker. And a lot of that, I think, is on the coaching staff. You can't, from a schematic standpoint, ask Greg Dulcich, Albert O. You can't ask some of the best tight ends in the league to block these outside linebackers.
No. But he could chip.
Yeah, you can chip, but there were times last year when we saw like Noah Fant was asked to block an edge rusher one-on-one.
Not a good idea.
It just doesn't work. And so, yeah, he can be willing, but we'll see how it goes. And I also will say he, for as NFL-ready as he looks in some to there some he degree, is. He's still smaller than Albert O.
Mm.
I would say next to Eric Saubert, he's not quite as built. He's going to have to get in the weight room and get stronger to I think, consistently run block at this level.
Yeah. But I think the biggest thing, you just got to block well enough that when you're on the field, the opposing defense doesn't automatically know this is a pass.
Right. Well, and again, I think the scheme is going to help. There were times when Kendall Hinton was asked to run down and chip a defensive end.
Yeah.
That's a schematic error.
That is. You don't have quarterbacks doing that.
Right. Okay.
That's a bad idea.
Rippin will throw you around.
Rippin will just get himself rip right through you. Yeah, good old Rip. Okay, anything else you want to talk about with the Dulcich?
No.
Okay, you want to move on to some offensive line talk, Eric?
Gets me going.
Gets you. We know. Let's move on here to our second topic on this week's episode of the Neutral Zone. We're talking offensive line. Who do we think the projected starters are across the front five there? And how important is it for this offensive line to protect Russell Wilson? I mean, that's job number one.
Job number one, kind of an obvious answer. You have to protect this guy. You've made such a big investment in Russell Wilson. You've traded, five draft picks, three players.
Draft picks.
A lot of draft picks. You've made a significant investment. You have to keep him healthy. You have to give him time to operate. It's not just about not getting him hurt. You put all these pieces around him to throw the ball to.
Give him some time.
Give him some time. Allow those play-action fakes to develop. Let Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon run the ball, gain yards so that you are able to take some of these deep shots down the field. Those things are really important. The Broncos' offensive line, I think they did like a DVOA-type situation.
Some analytic talk.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
I think the Broncos' offensive line was somewhere between like 9 and 12 out of – all 32 teams.
Oh.
That, to me,
it's not bad.
Is good enough. The Seahawks were 32nd.
Yeah.
That's not as good.
Russ got hurt last year.
Right. So I think the offensive – maybe that was a mouth noise.
What was that?
Okay.
Did I cut you off?
No, you didn't.
Okay, good.
I've just stopped saying when you do that because it does become clear that it would – I would cut you off from cutting me off.
See?
But the interesting thing is despite all this potential there – particularly, I think the interior of the line is set up really nicely. There's no real consensus on who's going to play where or who's going to start.
I agree. There's a lot of talent on the inside. And the Broncos added Luke Wattenberg out of Washington from the Pac-12, the Conference of Champions. Okay.
Yeah, Bill Walton would not be happy with me, I don't think.
No.
Bill Waltenberg.
That's not bad. Threw in an L there, but that's okay. Watton.
Well, yeah.
So, okay, here's my starting five across.
Oh, you're just going to go for it. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Bulls.
I agree with you there.
I think that everybody agrees
with
Bulls.
That's the one spot that's kind of solidified.
Left guard is interesting.
Yep.
I'll give it to Dalton Risner for right now, but I do think that Netani Muti could push him there, and I even think that Luke Wattenberg, he might get some run there.
Okay.
Wattenberg's mostly been at center right now.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. But I do think that if needed, he could definitely move over and play left guard. Maybe they'll try him out a little there. I think that Sir Lloyd Cushenberry III will be the starting center, though.
I think so too.
He's just been done that for 2 years now, and I just think that by all accounts we hear he's a very smart guy, and you got to be really smart to play center. So
something I saw on Twitter that was interesting is that they wonder, because Graham Glasgow has been
play
working
center.
A little bit at center.
Yep.
He has experience with that in Detroit. People said, well, you know, Lloyd's a very smart guy. Physically hasn't overpowered people necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know, could Graham Glasgow be an option there? Something I saw that interested me was Lloyd, I think, is 6'2", 6'3". Graham is 6'6".
Little longer.
Taller. And so someone wondered, hey, is it, you know, does Russell Wilson prefer having a guy who is a few inches shorter?
Oh, so to see over the top there.
Yeah, to see, you know, be able to scan the line.
Yeah.
Because Russ is not the tallest quarterback. That interested me. And, of course, Lloyd was at Russell Wilson's passing camp in San Diego.
Yep.
So kind of right off the bat, they started developing that relationship.
Yep.
So.
I have right guard. I do think Quinn Meinerz is going to be the starting right guard.
Yep.
And then right tackle is probably the position that's like most up in the air, I would say. But I do think that Billy Turner, I do think, will be the starting right tackle when all is said and done.
Yeah, and obviously Billy Turner has not been participating because of injury. I do wonder if Tom Compton makes a push at right guard, just because he was brought in with some positional versatility, which Barry knows him well. You're kind of probably going to carry Calvin Anderson as that swing tackle if he doesn't.
Because he can play the left side too.
He can play the left. So if he doesn't win that right tackle job, maybe he's an option. Maybe you move Tom Compton inside. I think it's pretty solidified Bowles and Turner. I just think you don't bring Turner in that late if the intention is for him not to start.
Nathaniel Hackett loves Billy Turner.
He loves him. He started a lot of games in Green Bay for both Hackett and Justin Outen, obviously. My questions come in the interior of the line, because depending on who you put where, a lot of things can change.
Yeah.
So if Graham Glasgow plays at center, Lloyd Cushenberry probably doesn't see the field at all.
Correct.
And now you've probably got Miners at right guard, Dalton Risner at left. If Cushenberry is the center, which I think will happen, and you want to get Graham Glasgow on the field, maybe you say, okay, he's used to playing right guard. Let's put him at right guard, and now it becomes Dalton Risner versus Quinn Meinerz at left guard and Netani Muti. And you say, okay, well, the way Quinn Meinerz played last year, we can't keep him off the field. And so then he falls in at left guard, and all of a sudden Dalton Risner's not in there.
Mm.
Or you say, okay, Lloyd at center, we're not going to move Meinerz because he was good at right guard. We've heard Nathaniel Hackett say Meinerz is going to work at right guard.
Yeah.
I think he said that at the owners' meetings. And so then at left guard, you say, okay, well, is Risner the best option there? Could Graham Glasgow play there?
Play,
you know,
a little left.
We're paying Graham Glasgow to be here. We just restructured. He's a guy that you probably want to try to get on the field. You know, is Netani Muti, has he taken that step? He was kind of drafted as somebody that
a little bit of a project.
A project. Is he ready to go?
Yeah.
That I think in my mind is the most likely scenario, where you have Bowles, Cushenberry, Meinerz, Turner, and then left guard is really up for grabs between, which I think is essentially what you said as well.
Yep. Where, who do you think gets it?
I think Graham Glasgow is going to end up starting there.
At left guard.
At left guard.
Okay, interesting. So you got Bowles.
Bowles.
Glasgow.
Glasgow.
Cushenberry.
Yep.
Meinerz.
Yep.
And Billy Turner.
Yep.
Okay.
And listen, there's been people who have asked, who do you trade? Where do you get some picks for next year? There's a lot of depth on the offensive line, and you don't want to get rid of all of it, but maybe there's a team that comes calling and says, hey, we could use a left guard, and whoever doesn't end up starting, maybe that's an option in terms of a late training camp trade where, you know, this guy's probably not going to make the team anyway, or this guy's not going to be a starter. You saw it happen with Trinity Benson last year. Maybe that's a position group you watch.
I was going to say, we named 10 guys over the course of this chat. So, what, you think 7 or 8?
No, I think
probably.
You tend to keep about 10 offensive linemen, 9 or 10.
But like 7 or 8 dress.
Yes.
On a Sunday, so.
Well, and, you know, there's some guys where, like, Graham Glasgow and Dalton Risner have enough starting experience where if they're not starting or they're not going to dress and somebody offers you a pick, you start to think about it.
Yeah, of course. No, I definitely think so.
Well, yeah, you toss Wattenberg in there, Tom Compton. There are guys that you've brought in versus guys from previous regimes. And that, to me, is always interesting, thinking about who did George Payton bring in versus who was already here. And that starts to help you figure out, okay, well, you know, and obviously there are exceptions. Like Garrett Bowles was not brought in or extended by George Payton, but he's going to be the guy at left tackle.
Yes.
But you look at that offensive line and you start figuring out who's going to go where. Well, George Payton probably feels strongly about Quinn Meinerz.
Yeah. It's interesting just because the scheme has changed.
Yes.
You know, and you're last year you got Mike Munchak in there. You're trying to play this way. You're trying to fit players with the coaching staff and the way they like to play. Now you change scheme. What kind of versatility do these guys have to be able to change?
Yeah. And some have said that Lloyd's skill set might lend itself better to this type of blocking scheme. Yep.
A little more athletic versus just strong.
You need guys who can get out on the move and go. Yep. Obviously, we've seen Garrett Bowles do that well. Quinn Meinerz out in the open field is good.
Luke Wattenberg certainly did a lot of that at Washington.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see. Wattenberg, I think, could push in the future. It's a lot for me to expect a rookie, especially someone taken that late, to be a day one starter.
No, I don't think that he's going to start. Do you think he could push to make the team, or do you think he's going to have to be at practice?
Yeah, I would say that you've got – so in this scenario, let's go Bowles, Glasgow, Cushenberry, Meinerz, Turner.
Yep.
Calvin Anderson. That's five. That's five. Sure. So Calvin Anderson. I do think Tom Compton will make the team.
Oh.
I just think you bring him in for a reason as one of those guys that can play all over. Netani Muti, I think, will make the team. You've got – so then that's eight players. You probably have one or two more. So, yeah, I would think Wattenberg could push there. You've got Ben Braden. Zach Johnson just came back.
You didn't mention Reisner there.
Oh, sorry, Reisner. Reisner, I think, definitely would make the team. So, yeah, Wattenberg, it depends. Like, Compton's a guy. At that point, you want versatility, right?
Yeah.
And so who can play tackle and guard?
Yeah.
So if you're a guy like Compton who can play tackle and guard, it helps you. Wattenberg plays guard and center. That helps you. So we'll see what happens, but I definitely think he has a chance to push for a spot.
Yeah. And ultimately, you just want the best five guys out there on the field, you know, so having that versatility is really important. And, we'll have to see. That's definitely something to pay attention to, that left guard spot in particular, right tackle, kind of up in the air, but I think we both agree Billy Turner is probably got a step ahead right now.
Right. And, again, I don't think it's impossible that Graham Glasgow becomes the center, but I do think Lloyd has the advantage right now. I'd be shocked if Quinn Meinerz does not start somewhere on the line.
Yeah.
So
Quinn had a great rookie year.
He did. And he's a big guy, powerful guy.
He is a big, powerful guy. And he can move,
too. The belly.
He gets down the field. I mean, we saw him get down the field and just like a bowling ball.
Yep.
Knocking those pins out of the way. Are you a big bowler? You like to bowl a little bit?
I'm not really.
Mm. Yeah.
It's kind of like a see?
Building likes to bowl.
When you're in elementary school, you do a nice birthday party maybe at a bowling alley. That's kind of the extent of my bowling interest.
You get some French fries. Bowling alley French fries are really good.
Like someday when your son, my godson, is having a birthday, his fifth birthday party.
You'll be there.
Yeah. But
bumpers at fifth?
Oh, I think so.
Okay. Maybe not my son. Maybe we'll take down the bumpers.
No, they're like, bumpers. Phil's son's up. Take the bumpers
take
down.
Take the bumpers down.
Eric's son's other up. Kids? Put the bumpers back up.
Should we get on to our third topic here? Okay, our third topic here on the Neutral Zone.
Is it a topic or like a game?
It's more of a game, this one. Okay. I thought maybe we'd come up with an example to let everybody listening follow along here.
Okay.
And then we'll do our real one.
Yeah.
I got a team that you have to guess, and you have a team that I have to guess.
And you're going
to
give me their position and the college they went to.
Yes.
And is the goal here to guess in as few, guesses as possible, or?
Well, what do you think? Should we do it that way?
Whatever you want. It's your game.
I mean, you can just kind of guess at some point. Okay. Just see how – just. I think if you get it
– Yeah, go.
You win. Okay. You know what I mean? So
– if I guess wrong, do I lose?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
You're going to have like a few guesses, okay. I think. So here's the example one. Okay. You tell me what year Broncos team this is, okay? So I'll start at running back.
This is going to be embarrassing when I don't even get this one.
This is just an example one. Okay. You'll get this one.
Okay.
Running back, Cal.
Okay, so I'm thinking C.J. Anderson right away.
Okay. And then there was another running back who got a lot of carries this year, San Diego State.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that Noshon?
No.
No. Okay.
No. Noshon went to Georgia.
Okay. San Diego State. So,
mate, see, this is part of what the game is. Wide receiver, SMU.
Okay. That's our dear friend, Emmanuel Sanders.
Yes. The other wide receiver on this team, Georgia Tech.
Okay. Our friend, Demaryius Thomas.
Yep. The tight end, Wisconsin.
Okay. Owen Daniels?
Yes.
Okay.
So maybe that gives you away. So yeah, I kind of started giving it away. Because Owen Daniels was only here for 1 year.
15.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 50.
So you got the idea a little bit. You guessed it four guys.
Yeah.
You got it. I could have just said quarterback Tennessee.
What were you just doing right there?
No, I just adjusted my sleeve.
Got it.
But if I
went to San Diego State?
Ronnie Hillman.
Oh, okay.
Ronnie Hillman.
I don't know. I'm not as good with the colleges.
People forget the Ronnie Hillman.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a big touchdown in the...
People forget about Ronnie Hillman. Okay.
But I could have just said quarterback Tennessee and boom, you would have immediately been thinking of four-year period there. So then I would have been like cornerback Kansas, cornerback Kansas, cornerback Ohio State.
Robes.
Yep. Linebacker Texas A&M.
Vonnie.
Linebacker Troy. See, these kind of things.
The Troy with DeMarcus, that narrows it to 2 years. Well, 3 years,
years,
but
yeah.
With the other context.
So, and then you would have been like, that's the 2015 Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
So we get the idea, right?
Okay. Yeah, I thought you were going to make the test a little bit harder. Like,
no, quarterback, that one was easy.
Quarterback Houston.
That one, this one is easy. Oh, Houston, huh?
Yeah.
Case Meenum?
I got his book.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You wrote a lot of articles about that book, I think.
I did write a lot of articles about that book.
Okay, so that was an easy one to get started.
Okay.
The real one, this one is significantly harder.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
You can go. Like, you can read yours first.
Okay.
And I'm going to do a little pause so the people playing along at home can...
Yeah, if you're listening at home, you're trying
like,
this. Eric,
come on!
Sorry, coffee break there. And if you guessed it, let us know on YouTube. Be like, I got that.
Yeah, okay.
You know, or hit us up on Twitter or something, okay?
I'm nervous.
I don't think there's any major giveaways here, but I'll go through it, okay?
Okay.
Quarterback, California. California.
Okay.
He's a quarterback, okay?
Doesn't immediately ring any bells.
Yeah, this one's harder. I told you this one's harder.
Okay.
Okay, running back, Purdue. Purdue.
Ooh.
Purdue.
Otis Anderson?
Otis Armstrong.
Otis Armstrong.
Yes. I think that that was good. You pulled out the Purdue.
Well, he passed away recently.
Yes.
In Purdue. I had to write an obituary.
Oh, you
and
did.
And so, were you laughing about that?
You were laughing. I wasn't laughing.
Okay, so that to me narrows it to like that 60s, 70s.
Yep.
Early 80s range?
Yep.
Okay.
I think the defensive side of the ball is a little bit more identifiable.
Okay. Otis Anderson, that was bad. That was Armstrong.
So, wide receiver, San Diego State. San Diego State, one of the wide receivers. The tight end position, or was I going too fast?
No.
San Diego State.
Did Lionel Taylor go to San Diego State?
No, I'm not sure. That's not who's
okay.
I was thinking of here.
Okay.
The tight end, Houston. Tight end, Houston.
Okay.
I think the linebackers, this is going to give you a little bit. Linebacker 1, Ohio State. Linebacker 1, Ohio State.
Is that Randy?
That's Randy.
Randy
Grasher,
okay.
Yeah. The other linebacker, Lowell.
Okay.
Hey, Lowell.
Okay.
You know who went to Lowell? Okay. Well, okay. This was a long time ago, so.
Tommy?
Yeah.
Tommy Jackson?
Tommy Jackson,
okay.
Yep.
All right, so I'm thinking, I think I got it, but we'll
keep going. I'll give you two more. I'll give you two more.
Orange Crush.
Defensive back, Maryland Eastern Shore.
Oh, that's our dear friend Billy Thompson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And then the last one, a defensive end. He went to Yankton. Yankton. Not a lot of NFL players from Yankton.
I'm going to Barney.
Lyle
Alzado. Lyle Alzado. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so what team do you think I was talking about there?
I'm going to guess you're talking about the 1977 Super Bowl
team. Yeah, nice.
Thank you.
That's the first Broncos Super Bowl team.
Yes.
To make an appearance in the Super
right.
Bowl. Yeah. 1977 Broncos. That was good.
Yeah. Well,
Otis Armstrong gave it away. You got the Purdue. You that identified helped. That. There's not a lot
which
of
which I'm not sure I would have known
Broncos running backs from Purdue, though.
No.
So that kind of gives you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can go through some of these guys.
Oh, here. Yeah. That would help.
Craig Morton from Cal. Mm,
okay.
Cal. Came over from the
if I knew
Dallas
that, that, of course, would have given it away right away.
That would have given you. Yeah. So Billy Thompson, the DB. I think the defensive side gave it away a little more. That Orange Crush. The tight end, Riley Odoms.
Okay.
From Houston.
Houston.
And then wide receiver, Haven Moses
from
San Diego State.
Okay.
Jack Dolbin was on that team, Wake Forest, the other wide receiver there.
Good to know.
Yeah, just for some additional.
Okay.
I'm nervous now because you got it. So now
I
I'm
got
nervous.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. I don't. Now I'm
okay.
Nervous.
First one from a defensive back from North Dakota State University.
Oh, boy. North Dakota State?
North Dakota State University, a defensive back.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not sure who you're talking about there.
Second player, a wide receiver from Arizona.
Wide receiver from Arizona. Oh, boy. Okay.
Okay.
You just pick a random team.
No, right? I didn't. This is has significance like yours.
Okay.
Okay. I probably just gave something away there. Third player.
Receiver from Arizona. Okay.
Defensive end from Houston.
Okay.
Okay, this should help a little bit.
Okay.
Fourth player, a quarterback from Stanford.
Quarterback?
Yeah.
So we're talking Johnny.
Okay, we're talking Johnny. Okay. So that gives you...
So that just, yeah, just 16 years now.
No. Okay. Fifth player, a safety from the University of Southern California.
Okay, that's... I'm blanking on it. Played with Steve, though. 42. I know who you're talking about. Sorry.
Okay. Should I say the name?
So yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Dennis Smith.
Dennis Smith. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. That's just a brand. My, yeah.
Okay.
That's a Broncos legend, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Dennis Smith. Yep.
Okay. I hope he wasn't listening.
That was easy.
Okay. So that help you with the range at all there?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I'm thinking like either late 80s or early 90s. Okay. Here is what I'm thinking.
Sixth player, wide receiver from Purdue.
Okay.
Okay. Keep going.
Did Vance Johnson go to Arizona?
Vance Johnson did go to Arizona.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, and then Purdue. That's not Mark Jackson, is it?
That is Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson, okay. Okay.
That helps you?
Yep.
Okay. The seventh player, linebacker from Minnesota.
Oh, Carl Mecklenburg.
That's correct.
Okay, so now early
defensive 90s. Defensive end linebacker.
Yeah, early 90s.
Okay. Eighth player, a kicker from Clemson.
Kicker from Clemson.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know all my kickers' colleges. But did you say Temple? I know kickers from Temple.
Nope.
No. Okay.
You know kickers from Hawaii?
Kicker from Hawaii. I know a kicker from Hawaii. Yep.
Okay.
Clemson. Okay.
Not going to help you, I guess. Okay. This one should help narrow it down if you know who this is.
I know the time range.
Okay.
Here.
Running back from Alabama.
Running back from Alabama. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay, and the final player, hopefully this helps a little bit, a safety from Arkansas.
Steve Atwater.
That's correct.
Okay, so I initially was thinking maybe the drive team, but this is not the drive team.
No.
This is early 90s. I'm going to guess 1990. 1991.
Is that your final answer?
I'm just really trying to think about what year Mecklenburg joined the team.
Oh.
The 91 team lost to Buffalo in the AFC Championship, right? That would be strange to pick that team. Or was that
just
the 90,
confirming some stats
1990.
Here.
Was that the 1990 team that lost in the night? It was January 91. Maybe. I always kind of forget if that was I think Mecklenburg was 91. Okay. I'm going to guess 1991.
That's incorrect.
1990.
No.
Later.
No.
Earlier.
1989.
Steve's rookie year. Went to the Super Bowl, lost to the 49ers.
Correct.
Okay.
Went to the Super Bowl. Chose a Super Bowl year for you. I thought that would help. That was, I thought Steve, as the last clue, would be like, oh, Steve joined the team.
Steve Sewell went to... No. Who was that running back?
Bobby Humphrey
went to Alabama.
Yeah, of course, made a Pro Bowl in 1990.
Got it.
But was the leading rusher on that 89 team.
Got it. 89.
North Dakota State defensive back Tyrone Braxton.
Oh, okay.
Of course, you got Vance Johnson from Arizona. Fletcher from Houston. Elway, you got Dennis Smith. You kind of got Mark Jackson. You got Mack. You got David Treadwell.
From
Clemson. He also played in kind of a short window. Tried to give there. some windows that if you knew, hey, they only
who is a barefoot kicker? That's what I was trying to
think
of. Oh, yeah, Rich Carlos. That's right. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah. No, he was not on that team.
Not that team. Dang, 89. Okay, that's a fun game, though, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe we could play that once in a while.
Sure.
What do you think?
Whatever you want.
I'll do better next time. Eric, I'm grabbing my phone now. You know what that means?
Time for voicemails.
We got a couple of this week. A good one here from Zach, our friend with a similar
Zach with a C.
situation, a non-traditional spelling.
Good Tuesday morning. It's coming at you. It's Zach without a C. No, it's Zach with a C, non-traditional spelling. Hey, guys, I just want to say, I don't know. Well, y'all might be a little pessimistic about next season. I think we're going 15-1 or 16-1. And we're going to lose the one game where Russell Wilson doesn't start in week 17. And I don't even know who the back quarterback is, but it's Ryan Pigpen or Brett Rippin or I don't know who the backup is now. But anywho, and we're going to need positive vibes on this Baltimore game. So me and my wife, we just had a little baby. And the Baltimore game, I think, is going to be his fandom is up in the air. So we are going to need some positive energy going against Baltimore. I need it to start right now. We gotta get all the people to call in. We gotta get all the positive energy going on this Baltimore Ravens game. Cause my son is not going to be a Ravens fan. It ain't going to happen. And then I guess the other question is, what jersey should I look at buying him when we beat the Baltimore Ravens on December 4th, 2022? Anyhow, roll country.
All right, Zach, thank you very much. Appreciate that phone call. Congratulations on the baby.
Congrats.
It sounds like maybe you're not getting that much sleep.
I think we could hear
a little bit of baby
Zach's
in the background.
Baby, yeah, in the background.
Yeah. He says 16-1.
16-1 would take it.
Could be.
I think
you've
got to go for the perfect season at that point.
At that point, you go for it.
I think so.
The backup quarterback, Eric.
Yeah, Brett Rippin, Josh Johnson battling it out right now. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Really, the Broncos don't know who the backup quarterback is either.
Yeah.
So Zach shouldn't feel too bad about that. He did ask which jersey.
Yes. Well, first of all, he said the Broncos need to beat the Ravens. I completely agree. We don't want any more Ravens fans.
No.
Enough.
Enough.
Yeah. But, yeah, what jersey would you buy at this point?
I'd go with a nice little two.
Oh, that is a good answer.
Pat Sertan.
That's a really good answer.
I think Pat Sertan is going to be around here a long time.
Yeah.
You know, you could view him as the top corner in the league. Corners play a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Russ is like the easy answer.
Yeah.
But I think there's something nice about not wearing the jersey that everyone else is wearing. And there'll be a lot of Sertans out there, but yeah, a little bit different. Wide receiver, you don't know what's going to happen. Running back, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I just think if you're looking longevity, though, I guess if he's buying his baby a jersey, those jerseys probably, that's not going to fit for.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, so that's maybe, what I was going to say.
Maybe you don't have to worry about that as much.
Yeah. What do you think? Like maybe a couple months you only need. Yeah. Just maybe for just for this season.
That's true.
Yeah. I think that also you kind of like want to like the guy a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Like there's like some like, hey, I wear this player's jersey. So I think Sertan is a really good
player. Sertan's good.
I would say maybe like a Javonte could be fun because, you know, can't quit attitude.
Yep.
You know, that kind of thing.
Well, Javonte had trouble walking when he was younger.
Had some tubes in his ear. Yeah.
Some tubes.
Very common.
So maybe, you know, you're a baby, you wear a Javonte. You don't have to worry about that. You got some good balance.
Good balance. That is true.
If it's like a chunky little, some babies are chunky.
Oh, do you think that Javonte was a little chunky?
I could see that.
Yeah, like maybe like a little bowling ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
So
that's a good pick.
Sertan or Javonte, I think.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
But I don't think you could go. There's a lot of guys you could go.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think a Courtland Sutton jersey you could be
Sutton,
nice
to. Justin Simmons,
you know.
Russ, of course. Ones.
Yeah.
Maybe you love offensive linemen and you want like Garrett Bowles.
Oh, what if you want your little baby's tummy to hang out?
Oh, Quinn Miners. Yeah, roll it up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
That could be really good.
You know, like unless it's got some buttons at the bottom, a lot of times babies' shirts roll up a little bit. So
that's true. Belly baby.
Maybe you get the belly going a little bit. Okay. Well, thank you, Zach. Always appreciate.
Thank you, Zach.
What do you say there? Roll country?
Roll country. It changes every week.
It's really close.
Yeah.
It's really close, and I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Let's get to our second voicemail here. This one is from Eugene.
This is Eugene Worley. I live in Cory, Colorado, which is on the western slope. And I just like to give my prediction of the finish in the AFC West this year. It's based on a little bit different formula than what some of the others. As I see it, we've got four offenses, top 10, in the AFC West. And they are very close in terms of points scored. So the deciding factor is going to be the team that can put a top five defense with their top 10 offense will win the AFC West.
Eugene, appreciate the call there. I wonder what your dog was thinking. Do you think he agreed or?
Yeah, hard to tell if he agreed or disagreed.
Yeah,
but certainly
maybe he has his own thoughts.
Certainly vocal about it.
Yeah, we appreciate that. What do you think his dog was saying? Like,
yeah, I think his dog went a little bit more in depth there and was saying
definitely
because Eugene's right. It is about whose defense can play well. I think that element's been underrated a little bit, but.
Do you think it's okay to just say all the offenses are very similar? It's going to be a wash because I think if that's the case, you would take that if you're the Broncos. Like if you're like, hey, the Broncos offense is going to be very similar to the Chiefs, I think you would sign up for that.
Yeah, I don't think that take is off base. I mean, it might not be exactly the same, but I think they're going to be comparable. You've got a quarterback on each team that can lead you to a last second win. You've got playmakers on every offense that are challenges for opposing defenses. So, yeah, I don't disagree with that. And, you know, we'll see what Jero Evero can do with this Broncos defense because he has a lot of talent on that unit. But it's about kind of putting it together, him calling plays for the first time on the NFL level. I don't know that it needs to be a top five defense, but I think if the Broncos can be somewhere in the top 15 with this
top
defense.
Top half of the league.
Because sometimes when you score a lot of points, we see this when, like, it doesn't happen when teams play the Broncos, but when the Chiefs play the Chargers or the Bengals play the Chargers or the Browns play the Chargers, I'm saying the Chargers a lot, Chiefs, Ravens, you see like 38-35. It does become difficult for a defense when you have to be on the field so much, which is what happens when your offense scores really quickly. So it'll be interesting how quickly does the Broncos offense want to score, how explosive are they, how much does a defense have to play, can they come up with turnovers, takeaways. There are some times when, like, the Chiefs, you know, you hear a stat like, oh, the Chiefs are 28th in defense or the Chargers are last in scoring defense. And then you play them and you realize that part of that is just they score so much that other teams get the ball a lot more.
And the other team has to open up their offense
right.
just to try and keep up.
Right. And so you're not looking at like a 15-12
yeah.
matchup, for example. So I think if the Broncos can be in the top 15 in a lot of these categories, force some turnovers, get to yeah. the quarterback, make the – you're not going to make every play. You're going to give up some plays. But in crunch time, can you make a play or two here or there, win a few of these games defensively? That's going to be enough, and I think could push the Broncos
yeah.
kind of over the edge there.
And we saw all the teams in the AFC West, they are loaded at pass rusher now
yep.
too. You know, the Broncos adding Randy Gregory and then, of course, Nick Benito, the Broncos' first pick this year. So, yeah, these I mean, that's going to be a heck of a division.
But the Broncos might have the best secondary.
Like I agree.
The Chargers' secondary is good, but I think the Broncos' secondary might be better.
K-Jack is back, Justin Simmons. Sertan.
Kwan Williams.
I mean, yeah, Kwan, the Shark.
Now, the Chargers added Bryce Callahan and J.C. Yeah. Jackson.
Yeah.
But
Jackson, that was a big one.
Pat Sertan might be
the best.
The best player in the division in yeah. the secondary.
Yeah, I agree. So, Derwin James is really good.
Derwin James is really good. But I think yeah. really highly of Pat Sertan.
So do I.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a nice take. I like that take. Maybe we could do a show about that.
Yeah. Perfect.
Could do a nice little show that way. All right, Eric, it's time for shout-outs. Who do you want to highlight this week?
Well, shout-out Liz Gerrolds.
Of course.
Had her nuptials this past weekend.
Beautiful ceremony.
Beautiful, lovely. We were invited to MC.
We were, yeah. It was like yeah. almost like
a live episode.
Yeah.
People were not allowed to record it.
People, what would you say? They were receptive to us?
I would say so. They were like, yeah. how do we listen to this? More.
All the time.
Yeah, more.
Yeah, all the time. Like, let's say if I wasn't dancing right now, but instead I was just in the car, how do I
yeah,
do it?
They were asking that. You know, during the week, Liz sometimes runs Play 60 events.
That's true.
During her wedding, Dance 60. Yeah. Dance a lot.
yeah. Yeah, did a Dance 60. A
lot of dancing.
Yeah.
So it was a nice event.
A lot of Play 60 going on at the wedding.
Yeah, dancing.
Yeah.
Yes. Anybody else to shout out?
I don't know. I mean, with Liz, now she's going off to our honeymoon.
Yeah, she's probably not even listening to this.
No, she'll listen to this.
Yeah.
Especially on the plane. You got a long plane.
She'll be like in Barcelona.
Barcelona.
And her husband will say, are you listening to the Rick Steves audio tour of the Sagrada Familia? And she'll be like, no I got the neutral zone.
Yeah, she's got to stay in touch with her team.
We should give her some stickers to hand out overseas.
Yeah, that's true. We do have some fans in Spain.
Do we have any stickers?
We do have some stickers, yeah. The shipment just came back in.
Perfect.
You know, the supply chain.
That barge. It was bad.
You know what it was? It was the sticky stuff on the
back.
Oh,
yeah.
Hard to find that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got them, though. We'll be getting those out.
Look forward to it.
We'll be getting those out.
Any other shout-outs?
I'm trying to think. What else sort of happened this last week? The Broncos, of course, collected their Webby Award.
That's true.
Yeah.
Shout-out to the Webby.
Nice ceremony on Monday night in New York City.
Do you attend?
New York City? No. No, that was not a part of that.
Oh, sorry.
Were you there?
No. I just type.
You just type.
And this.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's right.
Other videos, but not that one.
Not that one. No. Yeah.
But a good collaborative.
Really good collaboration to make that possible. Good atmosphere.
Yes.
The tone was good. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but shout out to our social staff.
Yeah.
They won a nice Webby Award.
And shout out to Ben Swanson. We hope he's doing well in Seattle. We miss him, but
yeah,
we hope he's doing well.
Oh, did you see Von Miller's house is on the market?
On the market?
Shout out to that realtor selling that house.
Yeah, going to make some good commission.
Going to make some Club 58.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to make
5.8% nice commission.
Oh, do you think you get? Yeah, yeah, maybe. Just for, you know, that's just fair.
For branding.
I think that's fair. Yeah. So, okay, those are our shout-outs this week. Hopefully you enjoyed this week's episode. We'll be back next Thursday. What's going on next week? OTAs. The start of OTAs.
The start.
We'll get a better sense of how this team is looking, huh?
Yeah, maybe we'll hear it from Russ.
Probably hear from Russ again.
Going back to Seattle. I've got some thoughts.
Ooh. Oh, what do you mean?
Some of the Seahawks fans are a little chirpy.
Ooh.
I'll have some thoughts next week.
In the business, we call that a tease. And that was good. That was well done.
I'll have some more mouth noises,
too. That was well done. A lot of times on this show, it seems like we're just coming up with this stuff in the moment.
No.
That was well crafted and nicely.
Thank you.
good delivery there and everything, yeah. All right, well, that's going to do it for us. For Eric Dalala, I'm Phil Milani. You've been listening to
The Neutral Zone.